1978, I read a paper by Vernon Mountcastle, talked about attention cells in the parietal lobe. I was studying the shift of attention that you would get if you presented a cue someplace in the visual field. So a person will say, looking at fixation, but he gets a cue over here, and that summons his attention and produces a change in reaction time. Suppose you summon his attention over here, but when you get it there, that means that the target's most likely to come over here.
Yeah.
So now you get a shift of attention to where the cue is.
Yeah.
That's telling you the target's over here, and you get a volitional shift back over, and all within half a second. And so I felt, gee, you know, that must be related to these attention cells in the parietal lobe, if Mountcastle is right. So I wanted to study that because I thought, gee, that might be a connection between the level at which Mountcastle was studying cells and our level of studying behavior and so on. It's all primate work.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you wouldn't be able to do that in, well, of course, there were some depth recordings in human patients.
Yeah.
You can't do it at will the way you can with the monkey. I had a very met Oscar Marin.
Yeah.
And he's a very well-known behavioral neurologist, and I talked with him about this kind of work, and he said, well, he was moving to Portland, Oregon to set up a neurology unit within Good Samaritan Hospital there. He asked me if I would set up a laboratory there to study patients and so on.
Yeah.
And I did.
You did, but at this point, very little background. I mean, you had background in some things, but this would have been very new, right? So,
I had wanted to study patients in neglect, and at the time I met Oscar Marin, I was doing a project in New York with Mike Kazaniga, and I worked with my brother, who you may know is a very well-known neurologist.
Indeed.
And he advised me a little bit about the neglect syndrome. Kazaniga himself had also worked with patients with neglect. And so I knew kind of how I had to go about studying parietal patients. And when we set up the laboratory in Portland, of course, we did many things. But one thing I did was run parietal patients. And I believed I showed that there was a deficit in a particular mental operation that in normal people I call the disengage operation. So if you were attending to a particular location and something came somewhere else in the field that you needed to attend to, there was a mental operation to disengage your attention from the current focus.
Yeah.
And the speed of that depended on how intense you were attending to that location. I found that parietal patients with lesions of the parietal lobe, the reason they showed neglect of the opposite visual field was that they had to break attention and move it to the neglected field.
Yeah.
And they had a deficit in that function. But interesting to me, I found that other places in the brain also influenced neglect. But at least in our, at the time, what we believed was that involve different parts of the mental operations involved in normally shifting attention. So we found areas of the brain that were involved in the movement of attention from one location to another, not the disengage deficit, but the movement. And we found other areas that were involved in the re-engagement at the new location. I thought, wow, I had an answer to the question that long had puzzled psychology about localization of function. It wasn't the task that was localized to a particular location. It was the underlying mental operations, and you had to orchestrate that task from different brain areas. In order for my colleagues to believe this, I would have to show this in normal people, not in patients with brain injury, because they could always say, well, brain injury causes a lot of different deficits, and what you're measuring is abnormal responses, and that really doesn't illuminate us on natural cognition. About 1980, when the Scientific American came out from Sweden, showing that you could, by use cerebral blood flow, find out where in the brain, roughly where, because it wasn't like a single cell, but an area of the brain that was contributing to task. And so then I resolved to study neuroimaging if I had a chance. Washington University in St. Louis was advertising for a psychologist who could work in conjunction with positron emission tomography, which was the imaging method that they were using in St. Louis, to study basic problems that couldn't be studied by other physiological methods because they were kind of unique to humans, basically. Got them to agree that I would take a leave of absence rather than just resign and go.
Yeah,
I did go and spent 3 years working with Mark Rako. Rako, great scientific leader, wonderful guy to work with. Very brilliant, but also a really great humanist. Maybe the crucial key to that was that he had studied English literature as his undergraduate degree before he went to medical school. During his residency, he worked with my brother. He sometimes said he was kind of between two Posners. Any case, I went there, and although my intention was to study attention, for many reasons it turned out to be better to study language issues because, of course, positron emission tomography is invasive. I mean, you don't expose yourself to radioactivity easily. So we had the idea that if we could understand the localization of mental operations that were involved in language, that would be useful for neurosurgeons, and therefore whatever ethical issues there were would be resolved. And, you know, of course we had to use informed consent and so on, but still, there was a lot of discussion. Of course, there were a lot of people who wanted to do neuroimaging, and I was only one of them. And one of the others, a lot smarter than I, was Bela Ulesh, the physicist who did the cyclopean eye. You know, used the random dot stereograms to produce a depth image. After a lot of adjustments and so on, we were able to really isolate the mental operations, visual, phonological, semantic, that were involved in processing letters and words mainly.